fire burns, fire shines, fire blazes, fire ignites. Hey, you want to color with me? I thought you'd never ask. Let's live like the sun burns, the sun shines, the sun blazes, a rays of a light, the sun ignites. Let's create the sun.
Yes, let's create the sun. That is some new music from a new show that's in development. In fact, we're going to give you an opportunity to play a role in it if you so choose. And with me is one of the co-creators, co-writers, co-composers of this show called Watercolors. It's for kids. It's for adults, too, but it's for kids. And joining me now is a musician, a composer, an actor. I first fell in love with this guy's talent when I saw him at Hair at the Mercury Theater in Chicago, where he just did an amazing job. I've tracked his career since then, and now here he is launching this new show for young people called Watercolors. With me is Aaron Davidson. Aaron, you're Denver born, but you are Chicago living now.
That's true. I've been here almost 5 years now, which is crazy.
Why Chicago, and why don't you stay in Denver?
Good question. I mean, Chicago, I always knew I had friends that lived here, and I knew that it was a thriving arts community. I spent a little time in New York, and I didn't like it. There wasn't the nitty-gritty, and frankly, it was a place where I saw artists struggle as opposed to thrive, which is what I saw here.
So, as I said, I first saw you as an actor, mm-hmm. right? And you'd fill in for the lead as well, understudy for the lead, as well as your own role in Hair. But at the same time, I actually didn't know about the writing you were doing. I know you do a lot of work with kids. So give me a little bit of the history of how did you go from the onstage performance of Hair, which took me back to my youth, to all of a sudden the creation of a show called Watercolors, and it's a reflection of, obviously, your passion.
Yeah, children's theater is my passion. So I have been lucky enough to do a lot of professional TYA work, which is theater for young audiences, stemming from when I was in college all the way till now. And there's nothing like being in front of a group of kids. They are the best critics, they're the harshest critics, but they're the truest critics. And so I've done a lot of work, and I've done a lot of really great shows, and I've done a lot of shows that I feel pander down to the kids. And
that's not a good thing.
No, I don't think that's a good thing. I think we do enough of that nowadays anyway. And so, you know, as I've written music, and I've been a musician for a long time, I essentially, for a couple years, I've thought, you know, I want to help create stories for a new generation, and ones that rise up to them, and ones that give the same time, the same commitment as a full 2-hour Broadway show as to a 60-minute TYA production.
And as I read the script, you were kind enough to share that with me. And again, and by the way, folks, this is a work in development. So it's right now you're an Indiegogo campaign, right? We'll give people information on that for a little bit. I didn't tell you this, but I actually supported you on Indiegogo.
Saw that.
Oh, did you see that? Okay. Yeah, I thought that was secret. I didn't know. Well, because I think what you're doing is great stuff and great for young people. That being said, tell my listeners about what the show is about, because I have some theories that there's a lot of levels to this. At least I want to see a lot of levels to it. So let's see if I'm right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So the show is called Watercolors. It follows essentially the three primary and the three secondary colors. The main character is named Seraphim, which is essentially red. And so it follows a world in which the three primary colors are essentially on their own, in their own worlds, amongst their own colors. And Seraphim ventures out. She wants to find more than just red in her world. She wants to color in a world that's more than just that. And she ends up getting caught in a rainstorm as she goes out and meets Sunny, who is yellow, of course. Because of the rain, they end up mixing and creating a new color. And of course, it's magical. It's amazing. And they realize that, wait, maybe we can do this. We can find more colors, color in a world. And as they do that, they travel the world. They, of course, get some hesitation amongst a certain color. But it is of the layers. It is about, of course, yes, art themes, but it is about all of the diversity and the beautiful colors that are amongst us in this world, and how they were beautiful together.
So that's what I thought. I was reading different layers in this. Certainly there's the Sesame Street component to this. And by that I mean you're teaching color. And you're teaching when a couple of colors mix, they do make another known color. Mm-hmm. So there is that level of teaching going on. But there is clearly the issues of tolerance, the issue of respect for different people and the differences. And I knew that was a theme underlying it. So my question is, since you know so much about children's theater, will kids get it? What will kids get?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think kids are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. And purposely, it's not written hitting you over the head. And I think they will get it. And importantly, a notion in terms of if you are casting this show is that it should be people of all... There's no, this character should look like this way, but there has to be lots of different... It should, every kid should be able to see this show and see themselves in it, no matter where that kid comes from. So I think they will get it. And yeah, I'm confident they will.
So it's not a project you've done alone. You've been working with Reese Daniel in doing this. So tell me about, Reese is not with us, but tell me about that partnership and how you guys decided this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, this is a great story. I love it. So I met Reese. He's living in Los Angeles right now. But we met doing a production in Colorado. We did...
Joseph.
Jesus Christ Superstar. So a little bit before that, the other Bible show. And so he had written some... He's a playwright and also has done some music as well. And we had met on this show. We'd never met before. And it was first week of rehearsal at a lunch break. And we were just chatting about, you know, what else we do in our worlds and passions. And we both talked about, you know... writing stories, and we both talked about passion for children's theater. We were at lunch, and I remember saying, you know, I want something that is imaginative. I want something that is new. I don't want something written based on a book. I want a brand new story. I want something that feels inclusive. And we just kind of talked about that. And then quite literally the next day, he shows up with 20 pages and said, I don't know what happened, but I couldn't sleep after talking with you. And here is this. I read it. I was in love with it. And I wrote the first song the next day. And that was it. Then it was born.
Wow. So much of what I read in the script, what people will support when they go to Indiegogo and check this out, is that, was that the gist or the genesis of what he prepared? Is that, are things still where they started?
A lot of things totally are. There's some new scenes that we've been writing and haven't want to put in and things like that. But the genesis of what he wrote that first day is, that's it. That's the basis.
So we opened the show by playing Create the Sun, and which of course is, that's yellow, and we're learning about the sun, and the sun has various ventures. By the way, I think this could be a little Hamilton-esque, right? Because when it comes to casting, when the time comes, nobody says the sun has to be male, female, white, black, whatever. It just doesn't matter, does it?
No, it literally can be anything.
So it's mostly, actually, I think these characters or the colors are told mostly through costuming?
Yes, yeah. Reese came up with this, which I think is beautiful. It'll essentially be a lot of the characters would have a white overlay, and as you kind of meet them and get to know, there's accents of their color is what their costume would be until they create their fully red, yellow, you know, purple, etc.
So I listened to the music before I actually read the script, to be honest, because you had sent me some tracks and I was listening through it and trying to pick tracks that I thought would be fun to play during the show. And so I played a track called Roy G. Biv. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it meant, but I liked the song. And then, of course, then I read the script and then I got it. Mm-hmm. But we'll tell our listeners what Roy G. Biv stands for. But first, let's just see if everybody agrees with me that this is just a great song. Let's take a moment and listen to a little bit of a song called Roy G. Biv.
Roy G. Biv! Roy G. Biv? Roy G. Biv! Roy G. Biv! Roy G. Biv, come to life and live. Roy G. Biv, we are the colors that you give. Roy G. Biv, come to life and live. Roy G. Biv, we are the colors that you give. Each one
on a color, each one blends. And so, Aaron, explain to listeners, like I said, I thought it was some technical term I didn't know. Much more simple than that. It's actually easy to get. What does Roy G. Biv stand for?
Roy G. Biv stands for the colors of a rainbow, the three primary and the three secondary colors.
And so what happens as I read the script is you say that each of these colors get mentioned. Because you have to remember, while you have adults like me reading this, trying to figure out the deep meaning, this is going to be presented to kids. So on some level, you've got to give it to them a little more straightforward, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You put this all together. In the end, when the show is over, because the Roy G. Biv song happens towards the end of the show, what is it you want kids doing? You obviously want them kind of singing some of these things on the way out, and they do. Some of these melodies are just great. Before I ask you that question, how did you divide up the work between you and Reese? Who did the music, the lyrics? Was it all a joint effort?
Yeah, that's a good question. This is kind of what was the most exciting thing for me as a writer. Reese gave the book and beginning lyrics, and then I wrote music and then changed some lyrics based off of what, as I was writing music, what was given. But it was very fun to me because this was honestly the first time in my collaborative moment I found somebody that like could just give me a really amazing template that I felt like I could just create magic off of. He's book and good amount of lyrics, and I'm music and a few lyrics.
And fortunately, you have good friends in the industry, because when I first went on to the Indiegogo website to check this out, you have a video there. You explain to people why you're doing what you're doing. And then you have one of the songs sung by one of the great Chicago talents, Michelle Lotto, who obviously is a friend of yours. But she looked so excited to do this. It didn't look like you had to twist her arm to make her do this. I first met Michelle when she was starring in Spamilton, so it started there. But then we worked recently together at a Porchlight Music Theater benefit. And what a great talent. How lucky you were to get her to sing for you for the Indiegogo video.
Yeah. No, Michelle, we met just literally like a year ago doing hair. So when I knew I wanted to do this and I knew I wanted to do a video, I immediately thought of Michelle for this character just because of the fiery, you know, woman that she is and what this character has. And so I asked her if she would do it, and it still makes my heart warm when I showed her the track, and she was like, "Aaron, this is beautiful." Yes. So I'm very grateful that she helped me with that.
And I hope people check out the Indiegogo, because at least you get that song, so you can check that out and hear the explanation. Talk to people about, you know, there might be, listen, I try and support a lot of artistic efforts and stuff. You know, people can't see you, but I can see you. You're obviously, you're a young artist, you're a talented guy, but these things are not inexpensive to make happen. So fill people in on exactly what this, I mean, I've read the script, so the script at least is mostly in existence. I'm sure it'll be modified, but what is the money for? What's it going to do?
Yeah, good question. So there's two main parts that I'm fundraising for. The first part is a music notation and some orchestration. So I possess the skill to create the music, but I do not have the polished skill to make the notated, especially accompaniment that I want to give to a music director, because I'm a composer. I want the notes that I played to be the ones played. So I'm working with a few people to help actually go into a studio. I play the music into music software. It notates as it is. It doesn't notate correctly, so we have to sit there and fiddle and move rests and move this and that. So that's one aspect, and it's great, but these people are highly skilled. They're really great, and they're very expensive. $75 an hour expensive.
Wow, lawyer-like. no, actually, not lawyer-like. So when you say orchestration, we're talking about this is the person that would create the music for the pianist, and the drummer needs a score, and the, you know, all the various instruments you're going to have each need their own score. They're all different.
Exactly, yes.
What do you envision, as you say you have your vision, how many people are in? Is it a band? Is it an orchestra? What are we getting?
Yeah, I mean, the beautiful thing is, as T.Y. will have a range of things, it will have the ability to just have a full piano, and nothing else if necessary for budgets and all that stuff. But I feel watercolors is, and what a lot of the music is, has some like early jazz influences. So I absolutely picture kind of, if nothing else, you'll get like a trio to quartet of a minimum.
Very cool. Now, that's the first phase, but you need money for another phase.
Yes. This is the really exciting point. Second phase is to truly workshop it. And what that means is we will spend a week and actually get professional actors, a music director, a director, a stage manager, and spend a week working on the material. And then it'll culminate with a presentation, both for industry people, and I want to go to an actual. There's a few that I've been talking with, some daycare or some facilities with children, and actually do a show for kids to see how they like it.
So, in the campaign, look, not a lot of people have tons of money, so people can donate any amount.
Yeah, literally $1 is $1 more than we had.
Where do they find? Not everybody knows Indiegogo, so give people some directions on how they can get to it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some, you know, if you links or stuff like that. But essentially, the campaign is called Watercolors. Indiegogo is a website that funds that. If you just type in Watercolors, a new TYA musical into Indiegogo, the campaign should show up. If you find me or follow me, I can send links, and hopefully we'll do that too from this.
So following you on Facebook or social, other social
media? Yeah, social media is great.
Okay, and Aaron Davidson is who you want to follow. I wish you luck. This is great. I mean, this is sort of fun. I want to touch base with you maybe sort of down the line. I think this is the first kind of project where I've sort of started at this level with somebody, and then how much fun it'll be to check in with you in a period of, we'll see, weeks, months, year, where you say, yeah, here's what's going on, and then maybe tap into where it is. That would be, you've got to be excited about that.
Yeah, I very much am. And because I feel like this is a process that happens for a lot of shows, but it doesn't happen for a lot of TYA shows. And that's what this means more to me. This means putting the same consideration you would put for Hamilton, if we're going to use that one, as you would for a TYA production.
Or Tootsie. What's coming up for Aaron Davidson next? Performances coming up? Anything you want to plug?
Sure. I'll be having some fun doing the Polar Express thing this holiday season. So I'll be doing that. And then you can sometimes see me just playing piano various places around the city. I often play at Room 13, which is a fancy speakeasy in Belmont area.
Oh, cool. I'll have to come check you out. Indiegogo, put in Watercolors, TYA, right? That means Theater for Young Audiences, just in case you're wondering what that is. Aaron Davidson, what an incredibly talented guy. As I said, he was sort of magical when I saw him on stage, and then to see that he's working on this project. You're doing good stuff.
Thanks.
I like it. Young people are going to appreciate you as well. Well, let's go out with one more song from Watercolors. Who does Blue meet?
Blue meets Indigo, a.k.a. Indy.
Well, that creates a bunch of Hughes, doesn't it?
The Hugh Brothers!
We're going out with a song called Hughes. Take a listen. Thank you, Aaron.
We are part of it all. We are different and huge. You are blue and I am a new. Same inside that I feel in too. Even though we are different hues. I am purple, but so are you. Deep down inside, I look at your hands. We're brothers. Ain't that the truth?
All right, and we shift from a little bit of musical theater to something just as important. And actually, when I think about it, our last piece, of course, which was about young adults, this next project we're going to talk about, this next area of effort, also is important for young people, but people of all ages. And that's, of course, the work of the Chicago Public Library and the Chicago Public Library Foundation. Some events coming up you want to know about. But in addition, my guest, it's so pleased and honored to have her here, Rona Frazen, newly retired as the president and CEO of the Chicago Public Library Foundation, a job she held for, I think, at least 14 years, bringing things so far along in the period of time that she ran things, and now time for her to get her little R&R in life. But she's coming back to do this discussion with me. Rona, welcome to the podcast. It's good to talk to you.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Well, sure. Well, you know what? Let me just start. There's events to talk about. However, you have recently sort of retired from the job. So when you look back at the years that you did this work with the foundation, what are you most proud of?
Well, I'm really proud that we've built awareness for the foundation and even things like our interview today. We were probably the best kept secret in Chicago 14 years ago. Wonderful organization that was started in 1986 at the same time that the Harold Washington Library was being conceived. by a great group of civic leaders, including Cindy Pritzker and Marshall Field and Jim Donnelly, who knew that private support was always going to be necessary to make a good library system truly great. And Chicago now has a truly great library system, growing all the time, new branches on the drawing boards. But the foundation creates programs and services that it would be very difficult for the city budget and city revenue sources to provide. So we're sort of that margin of excellence, I always like to say.
And, you know, it's funny when people, if we have older listeners to the podcast, they're thinking, well, you know, I don't go to a library anymore because who checks out books? I've got Google. I've got all sorts of ways to do things online. What's a good reason for people to still go to the library and use the system?
Oh, my God. Libraries are really community anchors. You know, it's so much more than books. It's books, but it's online resources and free subscriptions to magazines, programming, wonderful, wonderful programming for adults and children. One book, one Chicago discussions about ideas and literature. STEM nights for kids and families in the branches. I mean, it really, the libraries are the happening place. You know, really the place where new ideas are coming forth, resources are being shared, people are learning new skills. There's still, unfortunately, too many people who are still on the other side of the digital divide. And today, digital literacy really is a basic human right. If you are not connected to online resources, you're really missing out on community and the world around you. So we provide those kinds of services, educational enrichment, early literacy. You know, it's just U-Media. You talked about young adults. U-Media, which are 12 magnificent active teen learning centers where teens connect to the arts and with mentors.
And they're invited they're invited to geek out. I was reading about it. They're invited to geek out.
Yeah, mess around, geek out. You know, it just is exploring their passions and learning and leveling up, as they say.
I know they can cut an album in a sound studio, edit a film, fashion design, so many different things. You're right. People don't even realize what's available.
And one of our proudest alumni of U-Media is Chance the Rapper, who cut his first tracks and learned to use recording equipment at the Chicago Public Library, still comes back once a month and hosts open mic nights for free.
How
for
cool is that?
Chicago kids with valid student ID cards. So, I mean, it's really a wonderful cycle of learning and growing, and we say about the foundation that is supported by people who are dedicated to the curious. It's all about curiosity, and whatever you're curious about, you can learn more about it at the library. And we're very proud that not only has the city very generously provided funding for the library buildings and wonderful staff, but that private donors through the foundation have really stepped up and made a major difference in our community. And that's what I'm most proud of, is our donors.
Come a long way since
how dedicated they are.
A long way since 1873 when the whole game started. Hey, there is a great event coming up I want folks to know about on October 9th at the Forum. Over at 725 West Roosevelt Road. I've attended this event before. It's the Carl Sandburg Literary Awards Dinner. You've honored some great people in the past. Stephen Sondheim, I missed that. I'm still upset that I didn't get to that dinner. But Doris Kearns Goodwin and Scott Turow. Just tell listeners a little bit about this year's event, who's getting honored, and why you don't want to miss it.
Oh, absolutely. This year's event is going to be honoring, with the Carl Sandburg Literary Award, Judy Blume, who is much beloved author who really helps so, particularly young women, so many young women over the decades grow up. Wonderful books like Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, Fudge, Summer Sisters, a real champion of the right to read and learn. Her books, surprisingly, have been the most banned books every year, not because of any obscenity, but because they really talk to girls and young women as they are and meets them as they are and helps them feel comfortable in their own skins. And then our other author this year, we always sort of like to shake it up with two people who you wouldn't expect to find on the same stage, Neil deGrasse Tyson, fabulous astrophysicist, host of NOVA, author of a wonderful book that's been on the New York Times bestseller list now for just about a year, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. You can appreciate that, Paul.
Yes.
You're always in a hurry.
That's how I like to learn astrophysics. I'm running.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson really has inherited the mantle of his mentor, Carl Sagan, as our guide to the universe. He's the director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York and has a wonderful gift for making very complex notions of physics and astrophysics and astronomy accessible and understandable, and is also a wonderful, great role model for kids, especially minority kids, who want to pursue careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. He's a superstar. We've had lots of rock stars at the Sandberg Dinner in the past. Toni Morrison, David McCullough, Joyce Carol Oates, John Updike, David Mamet. But every year we outdo ourselves, and I think that's happened this year.
And let's mention that you also give a 21st Century Award this year going to Erica Sanchez, a poet.
A poet and also a first-time young adult novelist who wrote a wonderful book called I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. And the 21st Century Award always goes to an author with ties to Chicago. And Erica's a native of the Southwest Side. Wonderful, wonderful writer. Fabulous new voice in the literary community. And Chicago has so many wonderful voices in our literary community, including you, Paul, who I know has a new novel.
Yes, coming out.
First novel coming out soon.
Thank you for that.
Every year we have 80 or more authors with ties to Chicago who are introduced, and they each sit at a table with our guests. So this year we'll have people like Sarah Paretsky, Peter Sagal from WBEZ, Scott Simon, who moderates the discussion with our authors. Just great.
Well, I'll add to it
because every genre.
I was looking at the list. I was honored to be one of those people at the table a few years ago. This year, you also have Jeffrey Baer from Channel 11. You've got Sarah Ruhl. You've got Bruce Valanche coming in, which is bad. Alex Kotlowitz. I mean, you've got some great, great people.
Right.
And what
Becca
people,
Gilman, wonderful, wonderful award winner.
Jonathan Ive, who wrote a book about Ali and one about Capone.
And there's one author who's really coming onto the scene now called Nick Drenasso, who is a Chicago native, graphic novelist, and his new book, Sabrina, is the first graphic novel ever to be longlisted for the very prestigious Man Booker Award. So, you know, lots of people to watch, lots of people who come back, who lived in Chicago in parts of their lives, like Bruce Valanche, sports columnist, Ira Burkow. It really is the place to be in the literary community. Writing is a very solitude, a very solo endeavor. and creates a lot of solitude for people. And a lot of the writers who join us every year call this the best party of the year for them. They said it's the geeks' prom, where we all get to be with each other and socialize with people who love books and reading.
And as I said, the fact that what I want people to understand is not only do you have these people being honored, and Bill Curtis will host it, and Scott Simon will create a discussion on stage, but the fact that at every table you're sitting with one of those names we just talked about, and
Absolutely. Assuming
the tradition stays true, like I know when I was there, I gave everybody at my table one of my books. Many of these authors do the same thing, give their books away. You get to meet them, talk to them. It's really an incredible evening.
And Donna LaPietra, who's a member of our board and event coordinator, creates a wonderful, wonderful environment for the event. And at each table, not only are there books by the author who is joining you, but also there are books by the three honorees. So everyone goes home at the end of the evening with four books, a lot better than a coffee cup. And Neil deGrasse Tyson and Judy Blume and Erica Sanchez will do a book signing over the dessert buffet. So not only will you get to take a book home, but you'll get to have it personalized to you and meet these authors as well, who are true greats in the literary community.
Yeah, having attended a couple of times, it really is a great night. It's October 9th. It's at the Forum, dinner at 5:30, followed by the events. That's at UIC, University of Illinois, Chicago. Where can people check out tickets and sign to join you?
They can check out tickets at cplfoundation.org. Or they can call the Chicago Public Library Foundation at 312-201-9830, extension 24. It is, tickets are selling really, really fast. We also already have exceeded last year's ticket sales and are quickly on our way to a sold-out event. Last year, we raise $1.9 million for the programs of the Library Foundation and the library. And this year we are on track to exceed $2 million with the help of some wonderful event co-chairs, Charles Matthews and Michelle Rint from People's Gas, and Marcus Wedner, who's a financial services executive. They have been working their tails off and doing a great job.
Great. Well, it's a good thing my book comes out a little after October 9th, or I would kick Judy Blume off the stage and take her chair to talk about my book.
You know, we could have you anyway, Paul.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
All right.
We'll talk about that.
Rona, while I have you, I also want to talk about, obviously, an honor to and a tribute to the work that you've done through the years that got created last April, the Rona Frazen Innovation Fund. The very name of it sounds like it's got an eye towards the future.
Absolutely. You know, with any organization, it's very hard to identify funds to launch new programs, to test them out. And the library, particularly, has been very devoted to this idea. UMedia, you know, started as a pilot program that was only supposed to last about a year. Same thing with the Maker Lab. In order to keep programming fresh and vibrant and cutting edge, it's really necessary to keep investing in new initiatives. And when our board of directors said that they wanted to do something to honor me, I said, you know, I didn't want a plaque, and I only wanted to be involved in raising funds if it was something that would truly make a difference and create change at the library. And so we're hopeful that the Innovation Fund will do that. We've already, I think, over $100,000 raised for the Innovation Fund, and I'm really honored by this, to have a legacy really not only of 14 years at the Library Foundation, but almost 50 years working in the nonprofit sector. I've been truly blessed to have a career that has been about helping people in very different ways, and I feel very good about that and about my tenure at the Library Foundation, and know that they were going to go on to truly great things.
What an honor and what a great tribute to you to have the Innovation Fund, although I would have taken the plaque, but that's me. There's some really nice looking plaques out there.
I did get Steve Musgrave, who's a wonderful illustrator, who does all the work for the Summer Learning Challenge, one of the Library Foundation's great programs. And if you've ever been to Pettorino's restaurant, Steve is the one who does all of those caricatures of Chicago celebrities.
Well, wait a minute. My character's up there, so he did mine, I guess.
He must have done yours. Well,
wow.
Steve gave me as a parting gift my very own caricature, which sadly captures me way too well.
I love it. Well, you know what? We'll frame it. And next time I'm at Pettorino's, I'll take down one of my WGN colleagues around me, and I'll put you up and replace
them.
Hey,
there's an idea.
All right? Right at booth 20. That's where I am.
I could hang right next to you, Paul.
Exactly. Although I've got the light. I took the light and put it on me. The website to check everything out, including the dinner on October 9th, is CPL Foundation, as in Chicago Public Library, cplfoundation.org. Rona, I it's not my place to thank you on behalf of the entire Chicago library system, but I will. And just say for the work that you've done, you're leaving everything in great hands for the folks who are there. Such great programs going on. I encourage people to go to the website, cplfoundation.org, not only just to check out this upcoming event, but just read about the foundation, the work and the programs
right,
that they do.
So much going on.
We didn't touch the surface of all that's going on over there.
Absolutely. And other events too. We have a wonderful associate board that does really fun events for young professionals, and they just had one last week called Literature and Libations with a mixologist creating drinks based on wonderful literary figures like Ernest Hemingway.
How great.
So, lots of great things going on, lots of wonderful ways and fun ways to support the Library Foundation.
Well, you may be retired from the job, but you ain't retired. I'm going to see you all over the city, I know, doing a variety of things as I know you and your wonderful husband, Julian, are so involved in the arts.
Well,
and
thank you, and we really care about the city, so I appreciate your saying that.
Rona for mayor. All right.
not that.
There's only 11 people so far. Why not? Throw your hat in the ring. Rona Friesen, thank you for the work you've done for the city and for these great events. Hopefully we'll get a lot of people checking you out at cplfoundation.org. Thank you for your time, and I wish you well. We'll stay in touch as
you
enter a period of retired years.
And thanks for all you do for the city, Paul. You do wonderful things for so many organizations.
Ah, you're
really
kind.
Making a difference.
Thank you, Rona Friesen. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.